I'm really sorry, Marta, but I think you would die first.
Yeah, I feel like Martha would just forget her keys and get eaten by the zombie.
You don't know me. Don't say that. Don't say that.
I do not involve
Me
myself in this chaotic
don't.
energy. I disassociate myself.
Hello and welcome to the FIDE Series podcast. A lot of FIDE Series championships started over the last few weeks, which, of course, is great for us at FIDE Series. But in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the one and only with F1 in its name. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and it's all about the much-discussed F1 Academy, who started their championship at my favourite track in the world, the Red Bull Ring. And I suspect I might not be the only person who now holds this iconic Austrian circuit in high regard, as I'm joined by three drivers who each enjoyed F1's Academy season opening race at the Spielberg track. First up, let me introduce, and get this for an introduction, the first ever championship leader and already a two-time winner in the new series. Welcome back to the podcast, Marta Garcia. How does championship leader sound as an introduction?
Thank you. Thank you for having us here. Well, it's amazing to be obviously the first woman to win both races. One of them. Oh, well, yeah, both races, race one and race three. And I'm really happy with it. Of course, we still have to work a lot for the championship, but it's a good start. And I'm really happy with it. So, yeah, it's amazing. And I'm looking forward for the next race in Valencia, which is this weekend, which is my home race. So let's see how it goes there.
All kicking off, isn't it? It's really, really coming thick and fast now. Joining Marta today are her Prema teammates, who also made their mark in the new championship. Hello and welcome to the podcast for the first time, Bianca Bustamante. Silverware already. Have you found a home for your new trophy?
Yeah, so it's my first ever podium in my Formula Car career. I wasn't really expecting that for the inaugural race of F1 Academy, you know, because it was a new championship, new track for me, and like for a lot of the drivers. So yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but in the end, we showed the pace. We qualified P2 for both Q1 and Q2. Unfortunate with race three, but really started off really well. The whole team, you know, the whole Prema team, and I know for the next few races, we'll be showing really strong things.
Very PR, Bianca. It must be a press officer's dream with that sort of answer. But last, but very much not least of the trio here, is a driver who can boast that they scored a top 10 finish in their very first race driving a single-seater car in tricky conditions as well. Welcome to the podcast, Chloe Chong. Quite a debut result. You must be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I'm really happy. In some ways, I'm a bit disappointed because I think we could have had a bit more. We had a bit of a mess of a qualifying, didn't even get a lap in Q2, but it is what it is. And we started a bit far back than where we probably should have been in the race one. And we came through to P6. And so it was a good result. I was happy with that for my first race. But again, there's something in my mind that tells me that we could have had more. So, yeah, a good race, but a bit disappointed in some ways.
Racing drivers are never happy, I understand. I'm sure Marta wishes she won all three, so you're never going to be quite happy, but very impressed with you nonetheless. Before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, please like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a rating or review if you're listening on Spotify or another podcast platform. And if you happen to be listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube, you can take part in our podcast polls. Last time out, we asked, who do you think would win the Freca Championship in 2023? And perhaps you all knew we'd have Prema drivers joining us this week. Or maybe this driver is just that highly rated. But Andrea Kimi Antonelli was the victor. He picked up 50% of the Spotify votes and a whopping 77% of YouTube's. Perhaps it'll be a Prema double, as this week I'm going to ask you, who do you think will be crowned the first F1 Academy champion? You can check the YouTube channel or scroll down on Spotify to cast your vote now, and I'll read out the results on the next episode. While you're there, if you haven't already rated or subscribed, please take the 10 seconds to do so. It really does help us out. Okay, so we of course are going to go into all the details of Spielberg, but let's get the W-shaped elephant out of the way first, if we can. Marta and Bianca, you both had your seasons cut short last year after a trip to Singapore with W Series. Now you find yourself in F1 Academy. Marta first, how much change have you gone through since October and now? And how different have you found F1 Academy to W Series, both the car, both the format, coverage, etc.?
Well, I think to be fair, like it's quite different, both things. Like W Series, I raced there for 3 years. It was a different car, Formula Regional. And also like the organization was totally different. So yeah, obviously there's a big difference in that sense. Now with the F1 Academy, of course, it's different cars. We have Formula 4 cars, which is like a bit less power than the Formula Regional. But it's totally different in terms of organization, as it's like private teams. So obviously with Prema. And I really enjoy working with them because they are quite professional. For me, it's like something even new because I never really got to go with a private team anywhere in any other championship in single seaters.
One second, Marta, because you say professional, but I've seen a video of you and a certain Daniel Kvyat, which wasn't all so professional with some of the dancing that was going on. I think everyone was delighted seeing that.
Yeah, no, I think that's something fun to see for fans, of course. But yeah, it was quite fun that day. Actually, that's the first day that I met Danny.
So, what a relationship start.
Yeah. But yeah, as I said, like it's totally different. Now it's different. F1 Academy, private teams, F4 car. And yeah, just like working from here as a start. Let's say I'm like starting again and then see how it goes.
Same question to you, Bianca, but I'm particularly interested in hearing about how much the Indian Racing League and the F4 UAE has helped you from, I'll kind of have to say it to be frank, but a low scoring W Series 2022, but go straight into a podium in the opening round. So how much has changed for you in the last 6 months?
The last 6 months for me has been really of a roller coaster ride. As many of you know, and like you said, you know, W Series wasn't the strongest season for me because I went straight from karting and straight into a regional car. So that itself made it so much more tough. And like what Marta said, I think, you know, W Series and F1 Academy both have the same vision, but different execution racing wise. And for me, as someone that's stepping up from karting to Formula Cars, it was very difficult. Hence why it was hard for me to actually produce, you know, any good races or results. And the limited track time made the situation a lot more difficult. So, you know, coming into the next year, all we were thinking about is getting the most track time we can, because in our junior formula years, this is the most time where we actually spend a lot of time testing. Like, you don't get this much testing when you go up the ladders in F3, F2 because of the testing ban and everything. So I knew that to be able to grow and, you know, to show result, I needed any track time I could get, and hence why we did IRL. We were able to secure a seat in F4 UAE, you know, working with Prema and everything. And I think that was a pivotal moment of my career, I would say, was actually getting, you know, the chance to work with Prema, with such a high efficient and professional team. I was able to work on my craft, my driving, my technique on track and off track, and learn every good habit I can. And I think F4 UAE was a good platform for me to learn with the best drivers. You know, I was teammates with drivers like Ugo, James, Tuca, and I could really just see the competitiveness that they were showing. And I knew that for me to be able to excel, I needed to be at least on that level. And at some point, you know, we were there, we were in P6 or P7. We even scored some points in F4 UAE. So I think that set me off in a really good trajectory going into F1 Academy with a lot of the track time I was able to get. I knew that it was all about execution now, and coming into the first weekend, I wasn't expecting, like I said, a P2, but in the end, all of our hard work off season really showed.
I'm so happy for you, and I'm sure Chloe's going to be happy, because I'm going to say that's enough from the W Series side of things right now. So let's talk about the present. Let's talk about the future. So thank you for your patience, Chloe. A couple of questions for you. So firstly, how did you hear about F1 Academy, and what was the process for joining like for you?
So I think I heard about F1 Academy maybe I think I pretty heard about it first when they announced it at Abu Dhabi with the F1. And I initially thought like this would be a great idea if I could get into this, but I think, you know, they're going to try to choose some more experienced drivers first. And so we played the waiting game, and February came around and we got a call mid-February from Prema, and yeah, kind of just went from there.
So you just sit back and wait for them to come to you. That's quite a method. Well, but
we didn't really expect to get a seat this year. It was more like we'd already prepared to do the British Kart Championship this year. We'd done some races, we'd done a lot of tests, we even bought a new chassis for the championship. And then suddenly we got a call. So we didn't expect a call, but surprisingly we got a call, and I'm really happy to take on this opportunity. And I never expected it, so it was a nice surprise.
And your birthday just must have hit around the right time, right? Because you turned 16 over a month ago, is that right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to get my license before 16. So yeah, I'm happy to have my birthday right before the start of the season. And yeah, I'm the youngest driver, and it gives me a lot of time to develop, especially with the series, you know, giving us a lot of track time and a lot of development with Prema themselves. So.
Well, speak of the track time for a second, Chloe. So how much time have you spent in the cars in the wet? Because it must have been a bit of a baptism of fire.
I think I said on my story, it was like a christening of a fire, because we spent the whole 2 days in the dry, and then it just suddenly started raining. And I think I've had like maybe 5 laps maximum in like sort of dampish conditions in the F4 car. So it was a bit scary, and the team just told me to take it slow. Unfortunately, on my fastest lap, which was, I think the Delta was like maybe a top 5. And in the last corner, I got too excited because I knew it was a good lap, and a rookie mistake happened, and that was that. So a bit disappointing, but at least we know that we have pace right off the start in my first experiences in the wet. So that's more than the team could ask for. That's more than what I could ask for. So I'm really happy with that.
Hey, Chloe, if you're on for a top 5 with one corner to go in your first wet race, that's not a bad way to start. On qualifying, though, Marta, you grabbed 2 front rows on merit, and they became pole positions because of Carlin disqualifications. You've obviously raced Abby for a few years. How much of a race do you think she would have given if she was alongside you on the front row for race 1 and 2, 1 and 3 it was, wasn't it?
Well, I don't really know because it didn't happen. But to be fair, I think it will have Abby in a good fight for sure. But yeah, for us, like the race was really good. Obviously, with the disqualification, we started on pole, and then we went from pole. We had an okay start on race 1. Even though I got overtaken like in 3rd corner, I think, and I was like, no, I need to overtake. So I overtook on turn 4 after to Nerea, I think it was, yeah. And yeah, it was a bit also tension on the last race because I got a problem on my limiter and it got stuck. And I remember like Hamda was like a 3-second gap, and then she was like almost like there with me, like one second gap. So yeah, it was a bit tension, like scary that moment where I got my limiter stuck. But yeah, it was really good. Like with the 2 good races, starting from pole, obviously it helps as well in a track that is difficult to overtake. And also if you defend quite okay, it's also not easy that they overtake you. So I did quite well on the last race. And yeah, I'm quite happy with the work that we've done all over the weekend.
Yeah, I've not actually done any racing myself, but I've heard starting from pole position is usually quite helpful. So if you keep that up, Marta, you'll be looking really well. Bianchi obviously did well as well. I know you had a bit of a ending to the weekend you would have preferred not to have, but based on the time you did spend on track, who do you think your main rivals will be based on this opening round?
That's kind of funny. Yeah, most of the drivers that are within the top 5, top 8 are drivers I've raced with a lot already. With Hamda, I've raced with her quite a lot in F4 UAE, and she's a very clean driver, very quick. Unfortunate, you know, with her incident in the last round of for UAE, she had a bit of an injury, and I know that she's going to bounce back a lot stronger, and she has, you know, she went from, you know, in Barcelona for not being able to drive to being really quick, so I know that she's going to be definitely a dark horse. in the competition, you know, as well as Marta, very experienced driver. She's been in an F4 car since 2016, 2017. So I think with a lot of experience that she has, I'm able to learn from it. You know, me and Chloe are learning a lot from her. And as well as, you know, like you said, Abby, who's a very experienced driver. She's really quick in the wet, really quick in the dry. So I think she's really consistent. So overall, I think the whole F1 Academy grid is has lots of very consistent and lots of potential. So you can never really say who's, you know, who's going to be the top contender. But I know that within the grid that we have now, there's a lot of good drivers in it.
I cannot wait to get properly dug into the highlights. I know the coverage has been a bit of a contentious issue, but hopefully I can attend some races. Hopefully we can look at some highlights. One final question. I was going to ask all three of you, but I think I'm going to pick on you, I'm afraid, Chloe. Just how do you reflect on the opening weekend? I know, again, it wasn't exactly everything you wanted and you had the weather to contend with. You had all sorts of problems, but it's your first race weekend. So as Bianca said about W Series and going from a kart to a car, how was it for you?
Yeah, so I mean, this year we haven't gotten a lot of track time. I think we've had four tests before the start of the season and that was it. And some other drivers have had like 8-9 tests before. So it was a bit like we needed to set expectations. And I think we wanted initially before the weekend, like a 11th or 12th place finish if we could. And so there's a lot to take away from the weekend. And for me, it was just getting as much time on track as we can, setting some fast laps and trying to get my head around the racing procedure because it was just something new to me. So even though we were quite fast in testing, the racing we knew was going to be quite different. And this weekend we just used to get used to everything, get used to the starts and try to find a rhythm with the racing. So I think we've used the weekend well and we've, one, got a half decent result, and two, we've reached our goal and we've actually taken aboard some of the information that we found.
I'm going to dive in now into the audience questions. I'm sure everyone's had enough of me talking, and the podcast, after all, is for you viewers and listeners. So let's move on to the hashtag AskFS part of the podcast. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can get involved by using the hashtag AskFS on Twitter. You can join our Discord and use a podcast questions channel. You can comment on our YouTube videos and posts, or you can keep an eye out on our Instagram posts and stories. Caveat, there's a lot of questions and I've got three drivers who are on a time limit here. So I'm not going to get through all of them, but I'll try and get through as many as possible. However, audience, I have to say this first question from a previous guest, it's a little bit different. This is Roman Belinsky of Freca fame.
I'm going to ask a very different question, probably not what you expect and not a racing question at all. But if there was a zombie apocalypse, who would survive the longest and what car would you use to get around in?
That is a question and a half. So to reconfirm, if the zombies came and took over Earth, which of you three, and you can debate, you're all sitting next to each other, which of you three would last the longest and which car would you use to escape the zombies?
I'm really sorry, Marta, but I think you would die first.
Yeah, I feel like Marta would just forget her keys and get eaten by the zombie.
Or she would just like sleep in too long.
Yeah, she'd sleep in too long. And
wait, but I don't get it. So
is there a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah.
Who do you think the three of us has the most survival skill? Not for sure is Marta is not.
Why not? You don't know me. Don't say that. Don't say that.
We know you well enough.
I mean, know you well enough, but she'd forget water. She'd probably lose.
But what do I, so what do we need to do? What do you need to do in an apocalypse?
Like,
wake up early.
You would need
wake up early?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't sleep, maybe.
Yeah.
Because you're in apocalypse. Yeah, probably not me, maybe. I'm not too sure, but if they say so, let's just say like that.
No, I'm joking. And then we love you, Marta. I love you.
I'm ruling Marta out. And Marta, I do remember last time you came on that Alice Powell also suggested that you're quite forgetful. So you might not do so well.
I am, yeah.
Actually, I have a funny story. I think this is the Singapore Grand Prix. And I actually lost my AirPods. So I had the case of it, and she lost her case, but she had the AirPods. We just took my case.
Yeah. I was like, Bianca, can you give me your case? She's like, I lost my AirPods. She's like, I just gave well, her. Then just give me your case, and then we, like, you know, like, it's equilibrated.
It doesn't sound like a lot of we in that, to be honest, Marta. It sounds like a lot of I. We didn't get an answer to the question, though, and I think Marta has to take a step back, because you all agree that you're not going to survive. Now it's
them. Between them?
I mean, I'd say I'm pretty experienced coming from Philippines.
What do you mean?
No, I mean, coming from Philippines, I've actually had to survive a lot of things, like, when I was younger, because we weren't very well off. Like, I came from a very middle-class family, and, you know, at times when, and I'm being serious about this, when we couldn't really, you know, afford, like, good food, we'd just, you know, eat from what we call, like, karinderia, like street food and everything, and it's very true, like, coming from Philippines, where you don't usually have the most luxurious things in life. I had experienced a lot of things growing up, so, yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm glad you clarified, because I thought you were suggesting there was a lot of zombies that we didn't know about.
No, no zombies.
Chloe, do you have any counter at all?
Like, what?
I mean, I'm probably the most, the least forgetful person here. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a neat freak, and I like everything in a line. And so
zombies might make that a bit difficult, Chloe, to be honest.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how I'd fare with zombies, but I know that I'm a very organized person and I wouldn't forget anything.
I couldn't do it. I don't think she would be able, because she's scared of like spiders and
that's
stuff.
That's what I mean. Like, from the Philippines, you know. Like, we see cockroaches every
I think she would be the best out of here, because she, like,
last
she comes
night
from the Philippines.
We were in the hotel room, and we were stuck with a bug for an hour, and we were so scared.
Not me, though.
She left, and I was in the dark, and it blew onto my phone, and I basically cried, because I was so scared.
Oh my gosh. I do not involve myself in this chaotic energy. I disassociate myself.
What an answer. Well, it sounds to me like Southeast Asian living is the way to go. And as somebody currently in Malaysia, I fully support this, and I shan't speak of me screaming very dramatically when I went to islands recently because there's a spider the size of your hand, and I'm not joking. Oh, so if you can deal with that and you're used to it, Bianca, I'm sure.
I don't think any of my teammates would survive in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, that's Singapore probably.
To be fair, I went to Bali, mm-hmm. and I struggled a bit because, like, there's a lot of insects, bugs, like, also it's very different. So I think
it's normal.
If you can't handle Bali, zombies may be a bit of a problem. Let's try fire on, because there's a lot of questions, like I said, although that was a terrific answer. Journeyer via YouTube wants to know, for Bianca and Chloe, what's the biggest thing you've learned since joining Prema? Bianca, why don't you go first?
It's hard to narrow down like one specific, but I think it's actually holding yourself like high in most of times, you know. Actually, this is one thing that I learned when I first drove Prema in the race in F4 UAE, and I had my team manager Goofy Piro, and I've never done an F4 race or a race that's like super like high professional. There was like 40 drivers in the grid, and it was insane, and I was just like, you know what, like Chloe felt, I wasn't used to the whole like race yet, to the whole procedure and everything. And he actually, you know, told me that whether you're a rookie or not, you're a rookie of Prema, and that itself is already a higher standard than everyone else around you. And I quote him, and I think that is one of the best things, one of the best words of wisdom I've gotten from anyone else, because, you know, I think when you're in the Prema family, you're not just, you know, representing yourself, but representing the history and the everything behind Prema, you know, of how high performance they are. So everything that you do on track and off track, you got to think of not just yourself, but everyone you're associated with. So I think that, you know, allowed me to take myself accountable for a lot of things and be professional, be disciplined, and overall help myself become a better driver.
Hmm. I really like that. And we've obviously seen in F2, Fred Vesti return to the fold and do go so well. So starting a good relationship. You were asked this one as well, Chloe. Have you learned anything particular? The biggest thing you've learned since joining?
I mean, that's a big question for me because I've been with Prema basically since the start of my career, you could say.
Mm.
So I think they basically taught me everything from ground zero. But I think the main things that I've learned is what Bianca said is how to treat your work, how your work ethic is, how to understand the car. I think Prem has taught me a lot about the engineering side of the car, not just the racing. And it really helps me, changes the way I work so that I can approach a track in the right way and use my brain a bit more rather than just going on the track and saying, oh yeah, let's discover the track because as a beginner, that's what I do. Yeah. And so they've given me some really useful tools to just know exactly what to do in which situation when starting on a new track, and that's really useful for someone like me. And then also with the work ethic side of things, it's we have a lot of time for them to talk to us, and they really really want us to improve, and I can feel that their passion towards the sport is really important towards driver development. So they make me passionate about being fast, and that's a really important thing to have in the team, as well as my teammates as well, which are really important to me because they help me quite a bit.
It sounded a little bit like an afterthought, Chloe, but I won't push you too much, just bringing them up at the end. I'm joking. But loads of questions, like I said. This one's from Harry Benjamin, the F1 Academy commentator, who was talking over you guys. This one's to Marta. I noticed Marta Garcia had the Mercedes badge in her helmet. Is she affiliated in some way?
Yeah. So one of my main sponsors for this year is Mercedes-Benz Valdisa, which is a group in Valencia. It's like a concessionary, a big group in Valencia of Mercedes. So that's why I'm wearing like the Mercedes badge in the front. And then I'm wearing like AMG because it's like more AMG cars. And Valdisa, which is the group. If you see the helmet, you can see like properly Valdisa and then the Mercedes and then AMG. So that's why I'm wearing this. It's not like I like Mercedes or whatever. But yeah.
So we can confirm that you are replacing Lewis Hamilton next year. That's a good exclusive for us. Jake Sanson, who is a Feeder Series karting editor. Ah. To Bianca, I thought you might know this. Bianca.
Oh, miss you, Jake.
Oh, miss you, Jake. Yeah, he's a great guy. He wants to know how much stronger you are now than you were a year ago, mentally and physically.
Oh, that's a tough question because I've known Jake since 2017 when I first saw him in a kart race in Asia. And so he's really been following me growing up in motorsport and he knows the struggle. You know, I think mentally I've always been offset compared to others around me because of the pressure that I've always just given myself. Because, you know, I'm coming from Philippines where I did, like I said earlier, we never had financial, we never had stability to even pursue such a sport like this. Even just getting food on the table was hard, and that's why every race for me was a struggle, to get a car, to get the entry fee, this and that. That's why coming into Formula Cars and driving with Prema was the biggest dream that I never knew was even possible at first. And so mentally I've always just held myself so accountable for every mistakes I've done, which I think kind of ate me up a little because I knew that it wasn't given a silver platter, that I had to work hard for everything, through my media. I've always had to share all my struggles because it's true. And I think as well, being so young and having to deal with a lot of pressure, it's mentally taxing. And, worrying if you're saying the right words, if I'm doing the right things and this and that, and just constantly overthinking. And then, not even just thinking about the performance side, but this is everything outside of motorsport that not many people get to see. And, that's actually what I've been trying to do best, with the big platform I have, is to actually show the other side of motorsport and how we racing drivers mentally struggle as well.
And, you know, physically as well, with the support I've gotten this year, I was able to actually, you know, get the funding, get the sponsor and be able to train with the professional teams like 3-2-1 Perform, where Esteban Ocon is actually training as well. And you know, through that, I was able to train with my idols. That inspires me so much, and actually, you know, do the same workouts, the same routine mentally and physically. And I think for a driver that's developing, that's one of the key important bits, is to actually have the right people surrounding you, the right environment. And you know where you can't grow from the same environment. And that's why I'm so thankful for what I have now, to be with Prema and to train in 3-2-1, because it has been such an important factor to my performance.
I can really tell the confidence that's coming out of your voice compared to you were unconfident last year when I saw you in any interviews. But
no, I definitely wasn't, because like I said, coming from Philippines, there was a lot of culture differences, I would say. So I was just really culture shocked last year. You know, when I grew up watching Formula One, never expecting I'd even come to Europe. I came to Europe for the first time last year, and I got here and it was so different. And so I just didn't have the confidence. And that's one thing I realized, is that motorsport requires pretty much 90% confidence. And if you don't have it, you're not able to perform well. So that's something I've been working on.
It's coming through. It's coming through. This question's I love the answer. Nida via Discord for Chloe. This is your first full race weekend in single seaters. How have you found the transition between karting and the F1 Academy machinery? They ask both from a driving perspective and an engineering perspective, but I'm genuinely more interested in the engineering side, Chloe. How much access did you have in karting to what you've got now?
So karting's quite simplistic. You don't have the gear stuff to worry about. You don't need to worry about the engine cooling perspective. And I think the biggest engineering difference between karting and cars is, like, it's a lot bigger and everything matters a lot more. So if your engine's just a little bit off, you lose like what, half a second maybe down the straight, and that's a big deal. Like in karting, you maybe lose like half a temp, so it's not a massive deal. So I think that's the main engineering difference. Obviously, I can't say that much just because, like, I'm not an engineer myself, but I know that there's a lot with the caster and the camber that makes a big difference in the cars. And I'll move on to the driving bit before I make a mistake, because I don't know that much. But the driving's a lot different. Again, I say everything matters a lot more. How you're braking, the brake shape, like in karting, you can brake in, it's either a trail brake or is it a sharp brake. And in cars, you come off and you go back on, and so that's a big difference. And everything's a lot slower as well. So when you're driving a kart, you can be quite like smooth and you go like that. But in cars, you really have to be patient, and it feels like every corner is taking forever. But that's how you drive fast. So you've got to deal with being patient. And yes, it was a big transition. I think my first two test days in the car was quite hard in Monza, where I was just trying to get used to everything as much as I can. But I think the first official test in Barcelona is where I really started to get a little bit more confidence. It's still not there. Like I still don't have full confidence with the car, which is holding me back a bit. But I think that the team's really helped me build that confidence and build the knowledge around the car and just adjust really well. So going into the first race weekend, I felt really good, and the test day showed it all.
Well, hopefully it'll continue improving. Can't wait to see how far you go. Good few questions I'm trying to go and whiz through here. This one's from Molly, and specifically, I don't know why, but Marta, do you like pineapples on pizza?
No.
No. You look disgusted. If you're not watching, we had Marta putting an X symbol up with her fingers there. Very much a big no. You touched on this a second ago, Bianca. Where's Mansbridge? Wants to know. Bianca, can you talk us through the moment you found out Esteban Ocon's admiration for you? And have you spoken to, as they say, Esty Bestie since?
Yeah, he's the an amazing person. That's honestly like, they always say never meet your idols, but I think I was glad that I met, you know, one of my idols, because he really was an amazing person. Like when I first saw him in the center, I was just like, just like admiring from afar, just holding myself back, because, you know, like you always have to have a mentality that your colleagues, you know, even though he's in Formula One, you got to treat him like, you know, he's just a driver. We're just training together and that's it. But, you know, I really couldn't help it. But when we were working out together, I was just trying my best to like keep up. Like, you know, I was like, always asking him, ooh, how much weight did Esteban did during the neck workout doing this? And he was like, and my coach was like, you're 10 kgs away, okay? And then I was just like, no way. But yeah, I think it's really like so funny because, you know, like having like this standard and knowing how far off you are from achieving your goals, you know, I think physically is what the main difference why F1 is so difficult. And so being able to train with him was so cool. And not only that, was that he was such a great like personality. During lunch, we'd eat together and, you know, speak and talk. And he would ask me, you know, how my journey was. And actually, you know, I had a quite lengthy conversation with him, talking to him about how actually difficult it was coming from Philippines and how my situation is now and how much I've progressed a lot. And, you know, he was just very conversationalist. And he gave me advice and tips, you know, as an ex-Prema driver as well. He spent most of his times, you know, training here, working with the same people and, you know, living at the same village even. So he was, it was a very relatable conversation with him. And so like when the live stream happened, like I got like 50 messages of just random people telling me that Esteban was talking about you, and I wasn't really it. But yeah, it's a great like acknowledgement to receive, especially in your junior Formula days, from a very well experienced driver like him. So I think that really set my confidence up quite a bit.
I can imagine. And I've seen a rival podcast in the feature series from Marcus Armstrong with Callum Ilott talking all sorts about Prema food and all this sort of stuff in the village and everything. So I'm sure you had loads of tips. Now, I know you guys are going to have to rush off soon, so I'm going to try and whiz through some potentially one-word answers. I know that can always be difficult with drivers. This one's to Marta from Stein, MS34 Supremacy via Discord. Which series do you keep up with as a racing driver? I'm going to say Formula One is an obvious answer. So is there any other series that you keep up with?
Obviously F2, F3. And to be fair, right now, I'm not watching anything because I'm just really focused on racing, that I'm like, I don't have time to watch anything. I even didn't see the racing. Did you see the F1 race?
I did.
When did you see the F1 race?
Yesterday. Yesterday was the race and we weren't racing.
So. Yeah, but I was having a chill day, you know, like I also need like chill a bit because
otherwise my head was quite eventful, actually. Just speaking about Esteban, what happened during the race, I think that was like a crazy thing.
What happened? I haven't seen, so I don't know.
During the pit lane, there were some people in there as he was coming into the pit and
photographers,
and he almost ran him over because they were blocking the pit lane. So I think that's one crazy thing, especially, you know, with the safety and everything. But yeah.
Marta, let me just say, I know these are one-word answers, but just watch the highlights of this race. It was not one.
No, I'm gonna watch. I will watch the highlights.
YouTube 5-minute highlights is more than enough, and I don't know how they even got 5 minutes of highlights out of this one. Chloe, if you have one, what is your pre-race ritual for luck?
Jazz music. Jazz music for the both of us.
She comes into the truck and she just plays like piano.
It is like we're more. I think we're more like nervous.
We get like,
or like more like than Bianca. So we need to chill a bit more.
I'm the opposite. I'm always just like this.
Yeah. Give me like this.
Like I'm always just like
she,
ready.
Have you seen her jump? Like she like jumps up and down before she gets in the car and like does the whole like
thing. I can't. Well, maybe you do that to release the stress.
No, like, to like energize myself.
Yeah. I don't need to energize. I need to relax.
And we have little like sleeping mats underneath our driver tables. And
I'm listening. Just like doing laps around the truck while you guys sleep.
Jazz music.
And yeah, she actually showed me the jazz thing because I was not into it. And then she was like, oh yeah, like, you know, like listen to this, like this songs on like this playlist of jazz. And then it's quite relaxing before, like it's quite chill.
I do enjoy some jazz. This was from Banana via Discord, I should add as well. So good answer. This one was, to Bianca. If this is from Dan, Boshong and Alacy Stan. If you could choose your number in F1 Academy, what would you pick and why?
I know.
Which no, wait. Okay, so yeah. You know, I think I've actually grown fond of number 16. I think it's quite a good number, actually, because when you invert it, it's number 9, the 6. And actually, me and Marz I would say Marz is my biggest competitor on and off track, because we're even fighting for the same car number. I've always ran the number 119 back in karting when you can use, like, 3-digit numbers. But as I moved up, you can only use 2 and stuff. So I've always just kept 19 because it's my birthday, January 19th. Okay. So 1-9. And I remember when I first met Marta last year, when she had the car number 19 in W Series, I remember coming up to her and saying,
hey, you have my number.
Can I have your number? Like, no, your car number? Number. And then she showed me a tattoo. Number 19. And so I was like, okay, you can have it. You win. Yes, I'd get the number 19 if I could. Maybe I'll fight for it with Marta.
Yeah. One day when the grid grows and everything. Last few bits, and this is the feed part of the podcast where we dive into food. This question, well, there's 2 questions here, but I'm going to go for the one from CM Parfait 16, because this is one I'm actually quite interested in. Let's go, as I look at you, right to left. So we're going Bianca, Marta, Chloe. Okay. Yeah. You guys will be confused what I can see. Recommend each one of you your country's best meal.
Okay, so I go first. In Philippines, we have a lot of fried food. We have a lot of seafoods. I think Asia in general, and a lot of rice. If there's one thing I could actually suggest is sisig, sinigang, adobo, and lechon.
Can you briefly describe what that is? Because I don't think any of us, looking at Chloe in particular.
So sisig is actually a bunch of, it's pork, it's a bit other meats and egg and onions and stuff that's like sizzled together, and it's served in a sizzling plate. And it's very, very good. Philippines is very known for a lot of sizzling things.
Yeah, you're making me really hungry.
I'm hungry. It's time to eat. But,
yeah. And, we have sinigang, which is like a broth soup with you can either have beef or you can have shrimp in it. And it's so, so good. But yeah, I think that's the 2 things that I would suggest.
Marta?
For me, I think, there is a lot of food in Valencia, actually, that I could recommend.
Actually, I love
Spain. In Valencia, sorry, way in Spain. Yeah. But I'm, like, more focused on Valencia because we have, like, paella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, paella. We have also we have also arroz al horno, which is, like, rice in the oven, you know. And it's really good. It's really, really good. And we also have tortilla de patatas, like, omelette, potato, and stuff. It's really good as well with onion and croquetas, the jamón ibérico. Oh my God.
I tried that when we went.
I want jamón ibérico now. And also patatas bravas. I think that would be like what you need to try if you go to Spain.
Well, they said best meal. I think of about half a menu from you there, Marta, but you'll be going.
It's actually a bit funny because a bit of the Spanish food, we have the same in Philippines. Oh, like we just call it in a different way, like empanadas. Nice. Because a bit of
us, that's our destino.
No, but we have it similar to like
the croqueta.
Yeah, croqueta. Yeah,
I don't know what they're talking about. It's
really good. Yeah,
you'll find out in a week. You'll give me over in Valencia.
Tomorrow.
You'll find out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, she's probably staying at my house.
Perfect. There you go.
You guys stay at my house. Yeah.
I know this is embarrassing to ask you last on this call, especially with the difference, but favorite meal, best meal that you recommend?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Which country do you want?
Well,
you
which one?
Oh no.
I can do one from each country if you want.
Go, why not? Go on. Go on.
China?
No,
England,
it's your country.
Canada.
No, UK.
But I can't say much about the UK.
Yeah.
That's why I was worried for the license part.
Chicken curry.
Fish and chips.
No, but I don't like fish and chips really.
Butter chicken.
But that's Indian.
Right. So
British
UK,
Indian.
If we go like UK,
mm-hmm,
then probably a good Sunday roast.
Oh yeah, okay, that's
I
good.
Agree.
Yeah,
can't go wrong with a good Sunday roast.
That's good.
But I need to do Canada and China now because UK is just disappointing, to be fair.
Wow, lost all the UK fans right there.
Canada would be poutine, just because like it's a bit of a cheap food and it's nice and it tastes good. And then China would be whole fun. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but It's like flat rice noodles,
mm-hmm,
in like black bean sauce, mm, vegetables. Sometimes you have like meat, so I like beef hor fun, and it's just my mum makes it all the time at home for dinner, and she likes to tell us stories about her culture in China. So it's kind of like a very homey meal, and it feels quite close to the heart. So that would be my favorite meal overall, I think.
If you three opened a restaurant, I would be there every night, because between the lot of that...
What do we call it?
No.
The free pray, no. Matthias. There's a question here from Shy, and I'll try and whisper these ones. So if you can one word, it'd be great. But I've already noticed that you lot might not be the best
like
at the one word answers. It's okay. You're the ones that put the hard time limit on, and I've just asked the questions. Shy via Discord, what's your favorite post race meal, and why don't we do the same order again?
Oh no, why am I always first? It's not
fair.
But
it's,
my stomach's doing the thing where it's like churning.
I'm hungry.
I am too. Come on guys, focus.
Yeah, but you're going first.
Yeah.
Just say something.
I can't focus if you guys are
just say something. Whatever. This.
Potatoes.
You stepped out of the car, you got P2, and you wanted to eat.
I don't really know what
it is. All the time. She rocks up to dinner, she orders oysters and chips.
That's not a meal.
Oysters are good for you, it gives you testosterone.
And the chips, they're good for you?
Sometimes roasted, but actually, if I want a race, I'd get a chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, good answer, good answer.
Yeah. What we get? Sushi.
Ah, yeah.
Sushi.
Sushi.
I had sushi yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
we walked across a highway to get sushi.
That's how important it is. This is from Matthew's Fret 98. What's your favorite menu, I guess, meal from McDonald's? Not that you guys have ever been, of course.
A spicy chicken sandwich.
A what?
A McSpicy chicken sandwich.
Okay, good answer. And one word answer almost, so very good. Marta, have you ever been to McDonald's? What would you choose?
McFlurry.
Oh,
no, to be fair.
No. Oh, what's wrong with McFlurry?
When I go to McDonald's, I never order like food. I just, in case that it's like super late and I have to go to a McDonald's and then get food. But always I go for the McFlurry, like Oreo McFlurry.
Mm.
If not, I just get like a hamburger with cheese and some stuff. But I don't even know the name. So
cheeseburger.
No. Like, it's another one, but it's quite similar.
Roman Belinsky, who was on and asked the question, who was on last week, asked you the question, says he gets a cheeseburger when he's in Italy without the cheese because they don't understand just a burger. So yeah, exactly. That was my reaction as well. Chloe, what's your favorite menu/meal from McDonald's?
Thing is, when I go to McDonald's, I don't get the same thing every time.
Yeah.
Like, it's either chicken nuggets, mm-hmm, a hamburger, or like a Big Mac or something like that, or a wrap. But like my go-to wrap is like the crispy chicken with the sweet chili sauce.
Okay, now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Can we please go eat?
Two more questions and they're kind of the same. So
go
Michael Boyardis.
I'm so hungry.
You can do this. Michael Boyodis wants to know what's your favorite type of cheese, and Ash Slay wants to know what your least favorite type of cheese is. These are important questions.
We don't have a lot of cheese.
Do you want to skip this one, Bianca?
Queso de bola.
Queso de bola.
What?
Queso de bola. Yeah, it's a cheese in the Philippines. Casa de Bola.
It sounds very Spanish.
Like Spanish.
It is.
Casa de Bola.
Yeah.
What does bola mean?
Like a bowl.
Like
a bowl, a cheese bowl.
Casa de Bola.
Okay. Not familiar with it.
Kind of cheese. I'm sure, I don't know. Let me think. You go first.
It's one of two. It's either brie or buffalo mozzarella.
Are you going for the favorite one here or the least favorite?
Both favorite.
Okay. Do you have a least favorite, Chloe?
Anything that's really like hard and like
Roquefort. Do you like Roquefort?
Like the hard, like strong stuff. I don't know.
I just say
Parmesan? No, Parmesan is good.
Yeah.
Parmesan is really good for a pasta.
But it's like anything that tastes a bit like exotic.
Yeah. anything that's not too fresh anymore. That's like it's been there for like a year.
Like stuff that's aged this good is like goat cheese is quite nice actually. Like I've tried that.
Goat cheese.
Okay, guys, focus.
Or maybe like cheddar Marta. Cheese, yeah.
You know my cheese is good with
chips.
Okay,
Marta. And the burger.
Right, your thumb.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. To be fair, I think I like all of the
cheeses.
I really enjoy here in Italy mozzarella or bufala, which is really, really good. And I think cheddar, like typical cheese, you know, for like burgers and stuff. Well, you like it?
Yeah, I like it.
And I probably don't like to eat like on a sauce, Roquefort sauce. Mm-hmm. But to eat Roquefort just like this, I don't like it.
I completely understand. And I'm going to let you guys go because how terrible of me to force you to talk about food right before lunchtime in Italy, of all places, as well. So
I was doing well until we started talking about
food. Yeah. I'll bear in mind next time, always at the end before people want to run away. So I'm going to say that's all the time we have this week. Thank you to everybody for watching and listening. Thank you to all three of you for coming on. If you'd like to have your question asked on a future episode, use the hashtag AskFS on Twitter. Drop any questions below. If you're watching on YouTube, you can respond to our Instagram stories or posts, or let us know what questions you have on your mind on our Discord. Look for the podcast questions channel. And if you are watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment and subscribing to the channel all really helps us out. And if you are listening, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're listening on is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out feederseries.net for more Feeder Series insight and follow Feeder_Series, FS Americas and Feeder Series Now on Twitter. You can find the links to all of those, plus the Twitter accounts for myself and everyone else on the podcast in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, we've been the Feeder Series Podcast. Goodbye.